from your point of view anyway, I think pessimism probably sells magazines and radio programs just as much as optimism.
Was I wrong about the Iraq War? No.
No. Well, no, just hear what I have to say. You've probably actually heard this before, but a pessimist is a man who cannot lose, because no one will hold it against you if you're wrong. They'll probably see you as a person of great intellect and shrewdness if you're right.
Yeah, although it's not just me saying it, is it? I mean, it's the New York Times, it's the oil companies themselves, they're all saying end of the oil as we know it.
Do you think you tend to perhaps overstate things to get people...
No, I'm not overstating. I was reading directly from the newspaper, from the New York Times.
Do you think you tend to perhaps overstate threats or something like that, the worst possible outcomes, to have people perhaps stimulated to converse on this or to think about it?
No, and I'll tell you why. It's a matter of logic and rational thought that oil is a finite supply, because what it's made up of is the compressed vegetation from the dinosaurs, and there is only a limited amount of it in the earth in the first place. And the problem is that, and I'll tell you this, I was one of those people who used to pour scorn on the ideas of oil running out up until about, I guess, a year ago.
Oh, I wouldn't doubt that oil will run out eventually.
No, well, eventually, according to the oil companies, and they're the ones who have to dig it up out of the ground, is possibly as soon as 2007 we'll start to see problems, and the worst case, or the best case scenario, 2015. So anywhere between 2 years and 10 years.
Yes, I just wonder about this question of cost of getting at it. Whether that would be passed on as such a burden to the...
Well, it would, because if one of the points I'm making in the New York Times article you can probably get out if you're on the internet is a very good little backgrounder, because it's explaining about Saudi Arabia having had some huge fields which are now drying up. There are other reserves in there. Saudi Arabia still has one quarter of the world's known oil reserves, but they're much, much deeper and much more expensive to extract. So... it's not a question of there not being oil. There's oil there, but the cost of getting at it is going to be hugely prohibitive at today's prices.
Have we not the ingenuity and the technology? We've got the ingenuity to obtain that technology to make it less expensive.
Not in the same sense as space travel hasn't become an everyday thing for the average punter, even though they believed it would be back in the days they did the Jetson cartoon. In the same way, we have reached our technological endpoint in terms of oil exploration. There's no new style of drilling that's being invented that is extracting the stuff any faster. There's no new super drills that they haven't already built that can go any deeper. So the issue is one of purely just a hard slog with existing equipment under much tougher pressure, because the deeper you go into the earth, the hotter and hotter it gets, and the more your equipment starts to melt as well. So there's all sorts of issues involved.
You think ingenuity is finite too?
No, I think that they can extract it, but the cost of extracting it is extremely high.
Yes.
It's like if you have a diamond, a known supply of diamonds, and you used to be able to walk around in South Africa and Namibia and find them lying on the ground. Nowadays, you have to dig for them, sometimes up to a mile underground. One day, the world's diamond supplies will have been used up to the point where the first accessible diamonds are 5 miles underground. Well, it's, great matter of logic to tell you that there's a vastly increased cost at getting rid of 5 miles of earth than there is at getting rid of 1 mile. So we know where the oil is. We know there are vast reserves of oil. But getting at it is a very, very expensive proposition, and that's where your price increase comes from.
You've been a person who has been sympathetic to certain conspiracy theories or whatever in the past.
Name one.
Well, put it this way, you haven't propounded them, but you have quashed the idea of certain and please don't put me on the spot there. But
what I'm saying is that's an easy thing to throw around. Yes. But in actual fact, I have not been associated with.
You're open minded. You are open minded to that sort of thing.
I'm open minded to anything where the evidence goes.
Is it possible that that there has been a cover-up, that that information has been withheld here, and we actually have somewhat greater oil reserves, do you think, than they're letting on?
Now you're provoking a conspiracy theory. Look,
I've just got an open mind on this. I said you were sympathetic an open mind.
Yeah, let's follow it. Yeah, who would benefit from that cover-up?
Well, I think the oil companies would certainly benefit. They would be able to raise the price, wouldn't they? In future,
they would,
with the idea that it was becoming more scarce.
Yeah, but they would also have an added problem, which makes the cover-up unlikely, and that is that the number of people working on a drilling rig and in the industry is huge. It's one thing to be involved in a lone conspiracy, who shot JFK. It's another thing to be part of a conspiracy where you have to involve the world's entire oil industry and every single worker in it.
Not all oil drilling is going on in the same place.
The workers move around. They all shift from rig to rig, and they go, you know, where the wages are going. With the next big fight, as you heard from a previous caller, there's an Australian or a rig that's been working in Australia coming over to New Zealand. Now, it brings with it transient crews, and we have oil crews here in this country who also work around the world. And I know because I've known some oil men in the past. So, they're very au fait with what's happening in the industry, and you couldn't keep a secret like that. You couldn't, hide from the people at the coalface digging the stuff up out of the ground that, in fact, there was heaps of the stuff and there was no problem at all.
I'm not suggesting heaps of stuff, but I'm just suggesting that the situation may be overstated somewhat.
Well, you could argue that in Investigate, in the article we published, the critics are picking the crisis to start biting within, as I said, about 3 years, 2007. But New York Times is saying we're probably going to be in shtuk by 2015, which is 11 years away from now. Either way, it's finite. It's ending. So what are we going to do?
Well, I think we should have been looking at other forms of power,
energy,
transportation, whatever, for a long while.
Yeah, and I think there's still some time to do it, but it's going to take a long time. For example, to say, is New Zealand ready for nuclear technology? Are we ready for reactors in our country? Because if you're going to move to electric cars, which is one thing we can do. If you're going to move to electric cars, then you have to have a national grid that is capable of taking, 2 million vehicles plugged in simultaneously overnight, recharging. And that's a big ask. That's a huge power drain. So we've got to have that debate. Do we want nuclear reactors in New Zealand? Let's open up the phone line, see if people want that. Thanks for your call. 20 minutes away from 10. Brian, hello.
Hey, Ian.
Yeah.
Ian, I disagreed before on the question of transport. But you're coming around to argue with these people that have preceded me.
Mm-hmm.
I have in my hand a pamphlet from Statistics New Zealand, a profile of New Zealand, which tells me that over the last 3 years, we have imported 2 million cars each year, two cars for every man, woman, and child in the country.
We can't have imported 2 million cars a year.
Oh, yeah, I'll send you the thing. It shows you. This is factual. 40,000 a month. So
40,000 a month, that's 40,000 a month is 500,000 a year. I could believe that.
Yeah, well, there you go. I've got the thing in front of me now.
Yep.
So
that's fine. So it's 500,000 a year. That'd be right. Yep.
So, there is the answer to our problems. I have quoted before to you the Australian evidence from the boys in Perth who have made a beautiful city on public transport. They came to Auckland at the request of John Bakes, and he put his foot in it. I'm talking Peter Newman, who wrote the book Sustainability in Cities, and he said that Auckland is a basket case. So we have to undo the basket. In Palmerston North, where I live, we have 60,000 cars in Manitou. That's 5,000 a year on a, you know, average basis. That is 300 million just in running costs. Leave out the cost of the cars. We've had it.
Yeah, but
Parliament is at the disposal of petrol heads, without whom they wouldn't get their seats.
Yeah, the other side of the equation, though, is that of all these cars coming in, there is a an equal amount of cars being trashed where previously they weren't.
Yes.
We're sending a lot more cars to the wreckers than we ever used to.
You ring statistics and ask them how many cars on second-hand lots, and they won't answer you because there's about 20 million of them sitting around all over the country.
Yeah.
And we've had it, boy.
Well, every sheep has their own car. You know that. Every sheep has their own car.
I don't follow that point.
60 million sheep, 20 million vehicles. Well, there you go. It's all right.
Yeah, I mean, this is our problem.
Yeah, look, we have a lot of cars, but there's only a limited number of people who can drive them, and that's, you know, part of it as well. Sure, families may own three cars, but they're not necessarily all in use simultaneously. And even if they are, there's not, you know, one person can't drive two cars at once. Therein lies the rub. 16 minutes away from 10. Coming up, we will look at questions, of course, for a Tuesday night. And the question, is it okay to tell little white lies? Very topical, I think.
Body Enhancer. An independent trial proved 90% of people reach their weight and measurement goals, 80% maintain their weight in the long term. It worked for them, and it can work for you. Hello, I'm Winston Gatto. If you have a weight problem, Body Enhancer can help you change the way you look and improve your general health. Our Shape Up for Summer special, just $157 plus P&P for 2 months' supply. Order toll-free on 0508 508 508. Ask your health professional. Use as directed. Results may vary.
Muriel Dunn Financial Services Limited, and with 5-star consumer finance.